God, we just want to bless you this morning. We just want to ask your blessing upon Pete as he shares the word. Would you give him words to speak, Lord? And just give him a presence from you this morning as he feels your spirit. Lord, I just pray that you bless our congregation here and each one who listens online. We ask that your spirit would minister to each one this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Jake.
How many of you like the snow? Honestly, I like it for one reason, and that reminds me of what I've been washed from, and I can be as white as snow. This morning, the first thing I want to say is I don't claim expertise or even educated in the subject that I'd like to discuss a little bit. It's just been something that's been on my mind and my heart a little bit. In the recent, and probably even in my own life, as I think of mental illness, is it me or is it becoming a popular subject for a reason? Is it something that seems to be escalating? Or maybe it's just my age, I'm not sure. Maybe both. If you are struggling this morning in any way, and I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, there's a tremendous difference in the level of mental health and struggles in it. Personally, I would probably say I would have only leaned on the bottom part of it. From the experience I've had with working with individuals that have had severe cases or even what I'd say 5 out of 10 scale be at the 5 or 1 out of 10 be at the 5 mark, I'd probably be at the bottom end. And in that bottom end, it's no fun. But there's I think there's something practical that I'd like to hit first, and I hope you hear me out. As we go through the message, that you don't think that I'm a psychologist that fixes everything from the outside in, because I don't feel that is at all the answer to our problem. I believe the written word has some answers for us and some things that can help us in dealing with struggles and those issues we face. I think probably one of the reasons it came to me again this time of year, and I didn't know it was going to have weather like this, but it tends to worsen throughout the winter month. It seems a little more dreary and bleak, and I definitely think there is something to do with sunshine. I am tempted more and more to move to the south for the winter. I just love the sun. In saying that, there's parts of the winter that I enjoy too, and just to adapt to it and get on with it and live with it is part of life, of course. But on the other hand, I think there are some practical things that we can do to help ourselves. For instance, early in my ministry, there was barely a Monday that I wasn't completely in the dumps. After I preached a message, I was a mess. And for various reasons. It seemed that day Satan took me down in second-guessing myself, what I shared, what I didn't share, and it just took me down. And so I developed something that helped me through that. And don't misunderstand me. I did spend time with God through that time. But I did something physically that I had to sweat. Dale remembers my old bank barn where I had calves upstairs in the barn. And once a week, those had to be cleaned out. And those were cleaned out every Monday. Every Monday, it was a sweat and grind to clean it out. I just simply took a fork and I allowed myself to physically get involved. And it helped me develop a safe place to occupy my mind enough that Satan couldn't take me down further. And in that time, definitely praying and nurturing on the Word of God and what I knew in my heart and mind as I went through it. So I developed a pattern to help me stay above ground as Satan tried to attack me. I think there is something relevant to the proverb, and it's not in the Bible as such written. Some people may think it is, but the Bible doesn't actually word that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's taken from some proverbs and re-penciled, and definitely has an effect, I think, where the mind or even the hands, it speaks about idle hands or where you're not busy. Satan has a way of getting in and attacking you. And I think there's something to it to be occupied. And in that, again, don't use it as a Band-Aid. We got to be careful we don't use these things as Band-Aids, but I believe they can be helpful. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The NIV would bring out the verse here as stating the sound mind as self-disciplined, self-controlled, sound judgment, wise discretion, sobriety, and wisdom. And those come all from different versions of Scripture. But I thought they were all good, thinking of the responsibility we have of what God has given us. Now, this was Paul's charge to Timothy as a leader. And so some people would say, well, this is for leadership. No, it isn't. If we're going to qualify as messengers of Jesus Christ, these are qualities that God has all given us as when we were born again. And some probably more of a gift in it than others as far as being able to use it to his glory. But having the sound mind, I believe, is from God, and that's a God-given thing that we try and help keeping a healthy mind. I'd like to also read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, here, prior to these verses, we read of the many immoral and sinful state of people being in, and Paul reminding us that as we've given our life to Jesus Christ, our body is his. Our body is God's. And so we're an overcomer of those sins, but we're also a protector of our body as such as Christ's. So we're thinking today mostly because of the mind. However, I believe some of the other things that we will talk about relate to keeping a healthy mind. Feeling good mentally affects us physically. I really believe it does. And what are some practical ways that we can look at keeping our bodies in that way? The Scripture tells us that bodily exercise profiteth little. In other words, there's not a lot it does, but it does something. And I think for the state of mind, that's the healthy part of it, is recognizing that we're not out there trying to beat all our brothers and sisters of having, being in the best shape and such like, but it's more of a hygiene of the physical sense of your body. And I think all of us have to get to know ourselves. There are things that are very beneficial in our lives. Whenever my wife has been maybe in the house too long or gets, she likes going for a walk, there's just something about it. It's refreshing. It just lightens her mind and gives her exercise to just take some gloom off. And I think we all, it's good for all of us to find that spot. And I know, like I mentioned, age changes those things. I'm still on the hockey app, guys. I'll be coming sometime, but the fall work isn't done yet. I still want to get there. But there's something about hockey that always refreshed me, always. From young up, I just a game of hockey, there was something about it that, you know, I'll admit to that. That physical endurance or just giving it the best of my ability, and that's all I'll do if I come, guys. So just keep me on the app and I'll be there. Anyway, so we find things practical to help our bodies stay in shape. Things that, on top of that, I think also the fellowship of that recreation or whatever thing, whatever you're doing, can be extremely healthy. I'll go back to my wife. A walk with a friend or with me or someone is even more encouraging than just a walk alone. There's something about relationship. And I believe that's one of the things that I'm seeing, and probably more so in the last couple of years with what we've went through with COVID and such like, is we're seeing more and more mental health issues because of the, we've got all these modern technology, but I think in many ways we're more lonely than we ever have been. And some of that is also to blame on the modern technology and as far as spending the time and just calling somebody instead of just texting. You know, it's way different. It's way different if I just get a text from a friend or if I meet somebody in town and actually talk to them face to face. Way more refreshing to see the person to me. How about yourself? And I think it's a rut we can get into. Not saying that these things can't be helpful and good, but it's the bondage that we get into, and I believe Satan knows it. And it just puts us in a place where, yeah, in fact, maybe it even distances to the point that we tend not to be as open when we do get together. Because we don't have that iron sharpening iron. We don't know each other quite like we do when we meet and sit down together and chat. Or even feeding your mind. What are you feeding it with? Another thing, just this week, I had a businessman come in and ask me a question, and I had to do some quick calculations in my head mathematically. It wouldn't come. Again, maybe it's age, but that's a warning to me. I told my wife, this winter, we're going to play some more Scrabble. I got to use my head. Exercise and keep things moving. I don't think it's a mistake that our minds will wear out just like anything else in our bodies if we don't use it. This week I was washing the manure spreader prior to the cold, and I was lying on my back underneath washing it out, and I come in for lunch and my wife says, you look like a 16-year-old crawling around under the spreader. I said, yeah, but when I came out I felt like an 80-year-old. It wears out, it does, but we got to do what we can to physically and do what we can to keep us in the mode of being who God wants us to be and keeping us as healthy as possible. Now, don't misunderstand me. God allows things. And if you're here today and you have a physical ailment that is on you or that's coming on you that God has allowed in your life, Lord, help you. It happens. We have many mind sicknesses that God has allowed. We've seen friends and such that have went on that have had health issues that, yeah, we all know we're not here forever and the physical body is meant to die. But we do what we can in the best state we can. Also, emotional limits and boundaries. I think it's extremely important that we understand ourselves as being able to say no and yes. There's nothing wrong with saying no. And I know sometimes we feel judged or guilty, but there's times you need to say no, and you're the only person that really knows yourself. Maybe your spouse will help you on that, and I think we should. We should help each other. There's a time we can just give support there and say, no, you don't have to do that. I know it's a good thing, and a lot of things are good things, but there's a time to say no if you're going to stay mentally stable and strong. Because really, if you're not mentally strong, who are you? What good are you? Seriously, you know, we need to find our balance. And don't judge yourself amongst each other. There's people that God has given, and it seems like they can just go and go and go and go and go, and they don't fizz. But then the next person has a bigger battle, has a bigger struggle. And you need to accept that in yourself as far as the who God made you. Also, negative thought patterns or self-talk, slamming yourself where you are, or maybe just being hard on yourself. Rather than doing something to when you get into the negative thought patterns in your life, try and balance them out with positives and allow yourself to work above those negative thought patterns through good things. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians that we're supposed to be filling ourselves with good things, positive things, pure things, and right things, in my own words. Practice gratitude, being grateful and thankful for what you have or what you will have. Help yourself avoid feelings of feeling sorry for yourself. Guide yourself from blaming others for your own unhappiness. When you think and are a thankful person, you tend more to not see the negative impact that other people can have on your life. Maybe you feel you've been doing or trying to do all of the above, and nothing seems to help. Have you really opened yourself and humbled yourself, allowing somebody that you can trust into your life? It's okay. The mind is a part of your body just like every other part. It can get weak. Ask and share. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You have your Bibles or on your phones, whatever, however you do it. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness within the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but this one thing. I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have for as an example. For many of walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, and they that are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work, and whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I just finished one of my favorite jobs on the farm this fall, and that is plowing. When I go to strike a furrow in a field that maybe doesn't have corn or had corn rows or something that I can gauge by, if the field is too level and I want a straight furrow, I'll mark it off at each end. Put a stake in the end that I can see, tie something to it, and the end where I start, I step it off, and that's where I strike out, and I aim for that post. And when I drive, I drop the plow, and I drive until I'm down there. And unless I hit a big rock or some obstacle that I didn't know was underground, it's about as straight as I can drive. Do we press towards that mark when we think of Jesus Christ and following him? Do we keep our focus ahead of us as we go through life? You know, I believe, mentally speaking, as we set our mind and focus on Christ, and our desire is to passionately serve him here and then with him, with the great prize that we get at the end, to worship him forever, free from all these other struggles, is that my objective in life as I go through life? Regardless of what I'm doing, whether it's work or play or whatever I'm doing, is that my ultimate goal in life, is to just keep my eyes on the prize and follow him? Or are we possibly wanting to look back? Are we wanting to look back? Some years ago, I had rented some land from a neighbor. It was a sod field. I'd never worked the ground before, and I thought I had my place marked off and right where I was going to aim to plow, there was a tree. Well, the thing I didn't watch is that there was more than one tree there that were almost identical. And I did exactly what you shouldn't do if you're going to be fit for the kingdom of God and look back. And I looked back at my furrow and I lost track of the tree it was, and I went to another tree. I got to the end and I looked back, and you're exactly right, it's as straight as I drove. It almost went across the corner. I literally started over and plowed right over that furrow every time. And then the fellow I rented the farm from just laughed and laughed. He thought it was the greatest joke ever. Anyway, so it is. But let's take it as a life lesson. How often are we going through life and we're thinking back? You know, the Apostle Paul was in the same rut at a time. He was serving everything to the fullest. He was Jews of all Jews. He just had everything in him. He focused everything on the law. How about you? Do you ever look back and question and you know, and you forget that God actually has everything here in the Word, and what you need to do is go there, not back. But I learned this. And this, and this, and this. And we get tripped up. We go crooked. We end up with a rough life. Because we're really following man rather than God is what we're doing. Not intentionally, but that's what we're doing. Or maybe it's other things. Maybe just the whole... You know what? As a young parent, we went to Deeper Life Ministries, probably 2 or 3 sessions of how to raise children. Perfect. We had it down. Children make choices. God made them to make their own choices. They made choices, some different than me, mine, some I don't necessarily approve of. Am I going to allow that to trip me up on my prize? Am I still focused on the promise of Jesus Christ? That as I go through life and I follow Him, He's saying, don't look back. Yes, we all make mistakes. We all have things sometimes we need to go make right. But are you allowing that to trip your life and your vision with focusing on God? We can't afford to take our eyes off the prize. Keep looking ahead. Like I said, there's probably disappointments and things in your life that tempt you to stumble and look back and possibly bringing anxiety and fears. But you know what? We can't move forward dwelling in the past. Keep reaching and looking forward. His promises will not fail you. Like Paul, fight the good fight. Finish the course and keep the faith. Stay strong in it. Stay convinced. How? How? By knowing Him. We sang, the first song we sang was about knowing Jesus and really knowing Him in depth and experiencing His resurrection power. Do we have a winning attitude like Paul did? Paul never permitted himself to become content or satisfied with his spiritual attainments. An essential to a sound mind is progression in sanctification. Continue on your drive and your zest toward Jesus Christ. Continue to work on your life and being more like Him, knowing Him better, not being slothful or lazy in your walk with God. Sanctified meat for the master's use and prepared for every good work as we allow Him to sanctify us, cleanse us, and use us. You know, one of the things, if you can get your mind to the place where you don't have to have fear, how you can help others through your own life experiences to reach out. When you humble yourself honestly with others and allow yourself to be used for His kingdom. Remember, don't compare yourself with other Christians. Our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God made us visionary and He wants us to have goals, healthy goals for the mind. We need a vision that we don't perish, that we don't fall away. If our standard is the Lord Jesus, it is God's word that reveals to us Jesus. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives us insight and understanding. His word will not return void. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing thereunto I sent it. So allow the word to continue to penetrate and wash you and sanctify you, fit for the Master's use, as you keep your vision and focus on Jesus Christ and allow yourself to be free and your mind to be at ease as you follow Him. God bless you.